Good morning, everybody. I expect that you're hoping that on this, the first Sunday of the year, that I will be saying to you, Happy New Year. Yet, despite appearances, the lack of candles, the disappearance of the tree, and the loss of our Advent wreath, I wish to say to you all, Happy Christmas. Because we are still in the Christmas story as we gather today for this, the festival of Epiphany. We have heard all about the shepherds and the angels and coming to the manger on Christmas Day. But this morning our worship is focused around the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew, the coming of the Magi, the wise men. And so I say to you all, Happy Christmas. Let us stand and sing our first carol, which is, what number, Deborah? Number four on your Bethlehem carol sheet. Mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from all our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On this, the festival of the Epiphany, our collect prayer for today. O God, who by the leading of a star manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth, mercifully grant that we, who know you now by faith, may at last behold your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning to read at verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what the plan of the mystery is, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us stand and sing our next hymn, which is number 21 on your carol sheets. We Three Kings of Orient Are.
Thank you.
the Christmas Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? I wonder how many of you have, like the church, put away your Christmas trees and your decorations. You put your hands up if you still have a Christmas tree up. Nobody has a Christmas tree up. We have one over here. We have a Christmas tree up. But then we have a real tree, and Linear is always determined that we should get the most value for our money and enjoy it for as long as it is living and healthy. But I think that this shows us something of how we tend to treat Christmas. It's here for a lovely couple of days, maybe until New Year. Some ardent fans of Christmas like to hold on to it for the full 12 days of Christmas, though I've yet to meet anyone that eats all of the birds of Christmas. It lingers, and then it is gone. We're into a new year with New Year's resolutions, new plans, new hopes. The sun is coming up that little bit earlier each morning and lasting that little bit later, giving us the sense that we are emerging from darkness. And we move on. And that's fine. That's all well and good. But the Christmas story is not something which simply happens and is over. For in the moment when the angels are appearing to the shepherds and announcing to them glad tidings of good news, that is the moment when a star is spotted in the night sky in a place far away in the east. And it takes time of noticing, of observing, of studying. It's suspected that these men came from a civilization, perhaps where Babylon once was, which had records of old documents and papers from different religions and cultures. And amongst those papers, perhaps there was copies of the Torah, copies of the Old Testament texts. Maybe not all of them, but enough to foretell to them that a light would shine in the darkness. And they decide to set out and follow it. We don't know much about that journey. We don't know where exactly they came from. But we do know that their arrival in Jerusalem cause people to be afraid. We know that this was not a week after the shepherds. This was not 2 weeks after the shepherds. Herod asked them for the exact time that the star appeared in the sky. And after they leave, he orders the execution of every infant boy under the age of 2 years old. This is a journey of preparation that has taken them 2 years nearly to arrive at this scene. Christmas did not come for a weekend for the shepherds to enjoy time with the angels and then stop. Christmas began with the coming into the world of God himself. This is something momentous, something joyful, something inexplicable for us to get our heads around. God, who is more than we can imagine, became a baby boy. Something we can see, someone we can touch, someone we can look at. And this boy does not suddenly teleport from being in the manger on Christmas Day to the cross on Good Friday. He has a whole life in between, a life that we share, a life that we take part in. He grew up and knew all that it was to be a human being just like us. And so 2 years after his birth, these wise men arrive. Now wonder, how many wise men do we think that there were? We've just sung, "We three kings of Orient are." But the only thing which is numbered is the gifts which are given. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As to how many wise men there were, you can take one answer from tradition and say that there were indeed three. You can take another answer from tradition and say that there were about 50. You can say that there was a handful of maybe 12 who had an entourage of servants and assistants, creating a presence. You can say whatever you like because we don't know. But we know that they came. We know that they made that journey with all the preparations that were involved. And their arrival made all of Jerusalem tremble. Now, why does the joy of God being born amongst us make Herod and Jerusalem tremble? It makes them tremble because we have here the prophecy of the Messiah, the one who is to be the King of Kings, the one that everyone imagined would come in victorious power and might to be a ruler among rulers here on earth. Herod was a king. His own political power was tenuous at best. Inherited and hereditary, yet frankly supported and sustained by the Roman Empire. Herod had power which was rightfully his, but it was only being allowed to him by a military force occupying the region. And if he got too big for his boots, they would do the same as they did to other upstart rulers and kingdoms. They would say, "Well, if you're not going to play by the rules, we'll kill you anyway." This is the same thing about Jesus that makes people tremble throughout his ministry. When we come to the temple and the accusations that were applied to him before his crucifixion, it was all around the claims of earthly power. It was all around these claims that he was coming to usurp the power that was in place. And this is what the Jews said to Pilate. "If you are a good leader, you will kill him, because otherwise you're acknowledging rebellion, and the Romans don't like rebellion." There is something about this baby boy which makes power tremble. This is a baby boy who will grow up to turn water into wine, who will wake up from a sleep to say, "Come," and a storm and its waters will come. This is a boy who will grow up to be someone who will touch the sick and they will be healthy. Who will say, "Get up," to the little girl who has died, and she will awake to life and get up once again. This is the boy who will grow up to share his lunch with others, turning 5 rolls and fishes into food to feed thousands. This is the boy who will grow up to be the King of Kings. A King of Kings, in truth, God always is and has been. For in the beginning, he created the world by speaking. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. That which was in the beginning has become amongst us. This gives those who are saved in his name joy. The joy of seeing God in the flesh. And this gives those who would like to claim power for themselves a great cause for fear. Because in Jesus, the world is about to change. And knowing this change is coming, these wise men from the East made their journey. And they brought to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are gifts of great value, precious commodities. Gold fit for a king, frankincense filled with the worships of prayers ascending to heaven, and myrrh for the anointing of a body which is to be laid in a tomb. There is a glimpse here at the very beginning of the purpose of why he has come amongst us. Something that they intuitively understood through study, through prayer, through reflection, and through making this journey. It is easy for us sometimes to say that it's all about the journey and not the destination. And that is, in a sense, true. But the purpose of the journey, in this case, is not to get to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem. It's not to get to a destination. But it's to pay homage. To bring themselves into a relationship with a person, a baby boy sitting on his mother's knee. This really causes us to reflect on our own lives. What is it that we are journeying towards if the journey is so important? What are the experiences that we're moving our way through? Are we happy and healthy? Are we anxious and depressed? Do we have doctor's appointments lined up throughout all of the coming weeks? Are we worried about family relatives and how they're going to pay their bills? Are we concerned about how things might be executed in our wills? What are the things that we are wrestling with? What are the things that we're journeying through? Because if it's all about the journey, I think it seems very difficult indeed. If it's all about the destination, heaven, when we get to a magical, idealistic place where everything is fixed and forgotten, then what's the purpose of the journey? If we have this disconnect between the two, the journey and the destination, we don't unite them with God in Jesus Christ. We don't recognize that the whole story of Christmas is that God will journey with us as the little boy who grows up to become the man who will die for us, our death, our life, that when he is resurrected, we might also be offered resurrection life and eternal glory. If we keep these things separate, we should tremble with Herod and all Jerusalem. We might not be mighty rulers in the land, but we are mighty rulers in our lives. And yet, there is joy and hope that the wise men came to see. My hope and prayer for each of you this year is that you will see that joy and hope at work in your own lives. But let us first bring ourselves, on whatever our journey may be, to that place where we see the baby Jesus. The young boy who will grow up to be everything, everything that we need. For in his life and his death and his resurrection from the grave, we have the greatest Christmas gift of all. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, for your manifold gifts to us, gifts earthly, spiritual, and eternal. As Christ was baptized with water and by the Holy Spirit, may we be cleansed, filled with your Spirit, and sent forth to live your word in our everyday lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for all people in all places and in all kinds of need. We pray for those people who live in constant danger, especially the people of Gaza and Ukraine, and those in parts of the world where danger comes from their own rulers and their own people. We pray for people suffering from all kinds of oppression, whether through prejudice, deprivation, disease, or exploitation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the diversity of the worldwide church, and we bring it before you in prayer. Help your church to come together in unity, seeing more of what we have in common, to bring us closer to one another. We ask you to teach your people to disagree well, to have the grace and love to respect each other's differences, knowing that Jesus Christ is the one who brings us all together. Help us to truly walk in his ways and follow his example of love, honesty, grace, and kindness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for people who live in fear of what the current economic climate may bring, for those facing mounting bills, difficult monetary situations, and financial distress. We pray for all those who are without faith, hope, or love. We pray for those who are sick or bereaved, and we pray for those who care for them and who seek to bring them relief from their suffering. Give them the strength and courage to carry on and have hope for the future. We pray especially for all those known to us who are in special need of our prayers, and we remember them now in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. We light a candle to symbolize the light of Christ, which eternally shines and brings hope. Lord, you turn our darkness into light, and in your light shall we see light. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our faith is a journey with the person of Jesus Christ. If you are making that journey and wish to confess him with me now, I invite you to please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Christ came into the world that we might have peace between man and God. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. We turn and sing our next hymn, which is number 18 on your carol sheets, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Service will continue on page 10, but the opening part of the communion prayer will be different from what's in your books, and it will rejoin with the Holy, Holy, Holy. Would you please be seated? Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the wise men offered their gifts, as we worship you here on earth, make known in our lives your heavenly glory, who are alive and reign now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord is here.
The Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
All honor and praise be yours always and everywhere. Mighty Creator, ever-living God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, for at this time we celebrate your glory made presence in our midst in the coming of the Magi. The King of all of the world was revealed to the nations. In the waters of baptism, Jesus was revealed as the Christ, the Saviour sent to redeem us, in the water made wine. The new creation was revealed at the wedding feast. Poverty was turned to riches, sorrow into joy. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name and make our joyful hymn of praise, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. On the night he gave up himself for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection and bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ, and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Look with favor on your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come forward to the rail. If you would like to receive a blessing instead of the bread and the wine, that is absolutely fine. Please keep your hands down, and I'll be very happy to do so. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Blood of Christ. May the light of Christ lead you into joy as the star led the wise men. The body of Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Lord God, the bright splendor when the nations seek, may we who with the wise men have been drawn by your light discern the glory of your presence in your Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son, and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so our final hymn is not on your carol sheets, but is in the hymn books, and is number 150, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Thank you.
I say to you once again, Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
We are still in the Christmas season a little while longer until we come to that festival of Candlemas, the presentation of Christ in the temple. But as we do begin this new year, and we reflect on all that the wise men have brought to Christ, recognizing the glimpses of who Christ will be in their gifts, it offers us also an opportunity to reflect on the things that we can offer, not just to God, but to the life of this church here in this community, as we witness to the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, to our friends, our neighbors, and dare I even say it, to the strangers around us. There's often a request for money. Money is useful, it is a great tool, but I find three different words quite helpful when thinking about this. It's time, talent, and treasure. So many of you give your time in various different ways, and it is greatly appreciated. So many of you have wonderful talents, which we see coming through this building in so many different ways, whether it's here or in the hall or in other different ways. It's much appreciated. And so many of you, like the wise men, bring a portion of your treasure. And that likewise is gratefully received and appreciated. How much should people give or bring or do? That's a question that is only answered by each of us. But I would suggest reflecting this day, think how much value you have found from the church and from God, and see what you think represents that to you out of your own abilities or offerings, and put a number on it, or an activity on it, or a time on it, and see if you can find ways to express that amongst us. This is not me asking money for the church, this is me asking for you to offer to the community around us the opportunity to meet Jesus for themselves, that this church might be like the star over Bethlehem, drawing people to know God. So thank you all for being here with me this morning, and I leave you all with a blessing. Christ our Lord, to whom kings bowed in worship and offered gifts, reveal to you his glory, and pour upon you the riches of his grace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and all of those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ, to love and serve the Lord. Amen.